to Jerusalem, and it is also the start of the Holy Week. This morning, we want to direct our thoughts and attention to what matters the most, Jesus Christ, our King. We just want to worship Him this morning and thank Him for the gift of His sacrifice. We want to celebrate the power of resurrection. We want to celebrate the new life that can only be found in Him. Join us this morning as we celebrate our Lord, Jesus Christ, the King. Hallelujah.
Let's all King, let our King be lifted high. Let our King be lifted high, high. Let our King be lifted high. Let our King be lifted high.
Jesus, our King.
A single man, and you called him out of a heathen nation and made a special person out of him, a peculiar person out of him. And Lord, life was never the same with him again. Today, we are still enjoying the benefit of the heritage of Abraham. It is to you we have come this morning, the covenant keeping God, the Alpha and Omega, the one who was, who is, and is to come. You are our God. We declare that there is no other God besides you. Be thou exalted, O Lord, above the heavens.
Be thou exalted, O Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory be.
Let thy glory
Thank you, King of Glory. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. We cannot add to it. We cannot remove from it. You are the true God, the righteous God, the God who loves righteousness and hates wickedness. Lord, please, intervene on our behalf. Undertake for us, O Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You know, we were praying for our nation shortly, and, you know, we were literally almost in a state of despair. Well, God has not finished with Nigeria yet. God will show himself mighty on behalf of this nation. Let them gather together. Let them do all the manipulation they know to do. Form the camps and alliances they want to form. But who is it that says a thing and it comes to pass when the Lord has not said so? We know the things that God has spoken concerning this nation. And the word of God will not fail. The word of God will not fail. I had a terrible vision of the night, overnight. And there were people who had already perfected the arrangement for shedding blood. And they were rejoicing that the time of their sacrifice had come. And their victim was strongly in their hand. They had perfected all the arrangements. And they said, okay, now we have the blood. And they commanded the executioner, take him to that side and go and offer the blood. We have what we need at last. And as they were going, unfortunately for them, the person they said was the victim of their sacrifice was a child of God. And that one was just praying. He didn't even struggle with them. He was just praying. And they led him just as they were going to get to the place of the sacrifice. And the place of the sacrifice was very close to the place of the deliverance of the people. That was a sacrifice to close the road for the deliverance. Suddenly the executioners began to argue among themselves. And the moment the sacrificial lamb saw that there was argument amongst the people and that the distance between him and the place of deliverance was not so far, he just took off and ran. And just before he could cross the border, the people on the other side now, his own people, saw him come and say, that's our person. And they came into the territory of the adversary to quickly rescue their man, and he escaped. Now there was such anguish on the part of the adversary, because what they had thought, they had finished planning and everything had worked perfectly according to their plan. Until the last moment, God showed that he is God who rules in the affairs of men. No enchantment against Jacob. No divination against Israel. We are the people of God. We are the children of God. And we have to believe our God that he will do what he says he will do. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We are not a people without hope. We are a people, a peculiar people unto you. Be exalted, O Lord. We may not have any might of our own. We may not have any power of our own. But Lord, as our weapons are not carnal, they are yet mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And so new strongholds, you will be pulled down. In the mighty name of Jesus. And our God shall be glorified. Blessed be your name, O Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And perhaps thank God for the drama that our brethren acted. We are in the family week. We are very grateful to God that the family week is coinciding with the Easter week. With a time when great yokes, the greatest yoke of eternity was broken by the King of Kings himself, Jesus of Nazareth. We want to believe God. And please, believe God with the church leadership who made this by the grace of God, by the leading of God, to coincide that we have both Easter and Family Week together. We are members of the family of God. And we have to recognize that and not toy with it. I pray that none of us will miss our blessings in the name of Jesus. Today, God will have us contemplate on the word a peculiar people. A peculiar people. A peculiar people. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. I'll emphasize the word there, peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. God is still saying the whole earth belongs to him, but even though the earth belongs to him, there are a peculiar people amongst the people of the earth that are specially his. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And these are the words which I speak unto us, brethren, in the Glory Tabernacle ministry. We are a peculiar people. We are a peculiar people. When something is peculiar, it is not normal. It is not like every other thing. It's not, you know, it's not fashionable. It's not according to the expectations of everybody. That's what it means to be peculiar. You stand out. You are just different. But many people do different things to be different. You see some footballers, in order to be different, not because they have so much skill, but they want to be noticed in the football pitch. They bleach one side of their hair. They scrape the other side of the hair. They weave the other part of it. They just want to look weird so that they stand out from the crowd. They are peculiar in a sense. But to what purpose is that? To what purpose is that? And there's this tendency of people just wanting to be different, wanting to, you know, by all means be different, but be different for God's purpose, not for anything else. And God has shown us what it means to be different. In Micah chapter 6 verse 8, He had not left us in ignorance. The Bible says, he had shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I say again, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's not a secret. God has never left his standards a secret. He will always tell you what he wants from you. He is not a hide and seek God. He doesn't tempt us just to see whether we can do something. No. His ways are plain. All his ways are just. He is a God of righteousness. Good and upright is our God. He has shown us. We are not in any... Every group of people that God decides to make a peculiar people, God will show them what to do and how to be that peculiar person he wants them to be. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, I read from verse 2. Let me take it from verse 2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto who? Unto himself. And how? Above all the nations that are upon the earth. Above all, there are nations and there are nations. Just like there are peoples and there are peoples. And there are human beings and there are human beings. But there are some people who are peculiar unto God. And when God calls you to that realm, you better take heed. You better take heed. You better take it. In chapter 26 of that same Deuteronomy. Chapter 26. I read from 16 to 19. Deuteronomy 26, 16 to 19. This day, the Lord thy God had commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments, that thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast vouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his way, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord also had vouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he had promised thee, and thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he had made, in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he had spoken. And as often as Israel walked in that place, God made them a show, a wonder, a marvel to the whole world, till this day. And each time they departed from it, they saw their nakedness, they saw their shame. Because our God is no respecter of people. At all. He's no respecter of people. His ways are set. God will not change to now be like you. No. We were the ones created in his image. We are the ones who should resemble God. Abi? We are the ones who should resemble God. We cannot bend God to suit our purpose. No way. He will not be bent. Why? He is the Almighty God. He is the Almighty God. We may have our preferences. We may have our choices. We may have our biases. They don't change God from being God. Peter, the chief apostle amongst the brethren, whom God so graciously picked, he was the least, if you want to talk, among the apostles. But there was something about him that Jesus saw and decided to pick him to be chief amongst the apostles. And Jesus commanded him, on this rock I will build my church. On this rock I will build my church. What was that rock? Peter recognized the lordship of Jesus Christ. He said, thou art Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah that has been sent from God. Say, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. There's a revelational knowledge of Jesus Christ which we have that puts us in heavenly places, sets us above principalities and powers, no matter their contention. In fact, the more they contend with you, the more you go. Because Mom was sharing the scripture with us yesterday, you know, the way of the righteous. How does it go? It winds upwards. There's nothing you can do about it. There's just nothing. The more you try to press them down, the more you see that they are bursting forth. They are bursting forth. When you see such things happen, better retrace your steps and reconcile yourself with God. And so in Acts chapter 10, we have the account. Acts chapter 10. I'm going to paraphrase that because it's a fairly long passage. Of the encounter of Peter and Cornelius. Here was Peter, a Jew of Jews, who had been commissioned by Christ to bring the whole world to Christ, but he still had a Jewish mentality. He had a Jewish mentality. No, only members of my church are going to heaven. Other churches are not going to heaven. Is that what Jesus said? Jesus came down to die for the whole world, not for one man. I love the song we used to sing in the Scripture Union those days when I was still a little boy in the secondary school. He came down that we may have life. Jesus came down that we may have life. Jesus came down that we may have life. We may have life abundantly. Jesus came down that we may have life. Jesus came down that we may have life. Jesus came down that we may have life. We may have life abundantly. Today is Palm Sunday. I'm still paraphrasing from Acts chapter 10. But in John chapter 12, from verse 12, we have the account of what happened on that Palm Sunday. How Jesus was riding into Jerusalem and he was mounted on a colt according as the scripture had foretold. I'm emphasizing that. According as the scripture had foretold. It was a time of distress, like our nation is in a time of distress now. You know, and people were looking for salvation. The Roman Empire had conquered them and subdued them. They could not do anything of their own accord. And now, Jesus appeared in the scene, doing signs and wonders, great miracles. Nobody could contend with the fact that this was somebody from God. And the Jews began to rejoice. Oh, our Messiah had come. Our Messiah had come. But what did they have in mind? They had in mind that he would deliver them from the Romans. They were looking only from a myopic point of view. They were only concerned about themselves. They were thinking how they will now form a nation of themselves and, you know, according as it had been of old, become the one colonizing other places. And Jesus told them, that's not exactly why I came. I came, yes, for salvation. That's why they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna means Savior. Come and save us. Our Savior has arrived. They were rejoicing that their Savior had arrived. Savior from what? From the Romans? From PDP? From APC? Is that all the salvation that we need now? Far be it. Jesus came for a much higher purpose. Even the apostles misunderstood that. So, sometimes when you are peculiar, in fact, not sometimes. Every time when you are peculiar, you will be misunderstood. Just take note of every time when you are peculiar, you will be misunderstood. Misunderstanding is understanding that has missed its way. You'll be misunderstood. Because they are not seeing what you are seeing. They are not beholding what you are beholding. What they are thinking of is their selfish gain. And so Peter said, me, Jew of Jews, how can I eat unclean animals? God was speaking to him, dealing with him, trying to break down the barrier. Say, no, I didn't come for Jews only. I came for the whole world. I came for the whole world. Yes, I'm going to save you, but it's not just about you. It's about the whole world. 3 times he received that vision. And Peter knew better. He decided to change his mind. And lo and behold, the moment God finished dealing with him, the people came. They were at the gates. And in that encounter, Peter had to change his mind. When you are going to be a peculiar person for God, your mind has to be renewed. Your mind has to be transformed. Your mind has to be regenerated. The old genes have to be taken away and new genes put inside. The unrighteous genes have to be taken away. The genes of bitterness, the genes of wrath, the genes of anger, the genes of self-pride, they have to be taken away so that only Jesus is Lord. Now, he that didn't want to have anything to do with Gentiles, he had to obey, and he went to the house of Cornelius. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 10. What lesson did Peter learn that day? From verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with who? With him." And then he began to preach the gospel to them. The word of God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, his Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him up openly. Brethren, here was Peter now bearing witness to Gentiles. What he would not normally want to do. Why? Because God had to change his mind to say, look, broaden your horizon. I didn't make you apostle for just these few people that are here. What I had in mind for you is the whole world. He said, and ye shall be my witnesses after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, to the uttermost part of the earth. Uttermost parts of the earth. That is God's plan for us. When God chose to make Glory Tabernacle Ministry a peculiar place, that was the plan that God had. And that's the same plan that God has, because God doesn't change his mind like that. No. It is we that change our minds sometimes. But while we change our mind, God remains steadfast. When this ministry started, it was not fashionable to talk about holiness. What was in vogue that time was prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. But they don't realize that in holiness, you get prosperity also. But God wanted a peculiar people. A people who can stand firm on holiness. Who will not compromise anything that has to do with holiness. And on account of that, there were many knocks. So ask our pastors, they will tell you the type of controversies from above, from within, and from beneath. All manner of contradictions coming. But when you have heard from God, you don't mind other voices. You don't mind other voices. You stand steadfast to what God has spoken. That's part of being peculiar as God's people. That peculiarity is so essential if you are going to maintain a standard. And remember the word God spoke to us. We are supposed to be a ministry to other ministries. I'm reminding us of the word that God spoke to us. The prophecy came during one of our night vigils. Those days we were still in scripture, we had that night vigil in the scripture union. That the glory of God will so much be on every member of the Glory Tabernacle Ministry, people will be holding the hem of our garment and say, we will follow you to go and worship your God. That word is still alive till this day. But are we living according to that standard? Are we conscious of what God has spoken? Are we conscious of what God has spoken? God cannot lie. His word will surely come to pass. If God just wanted another church, it's not Glory Tabernacle he will have set up. Now, brethren, on a serious note, if you want to be a student of the University of Ibadan, you have to pass JAMB. Minimum, you must go above 200. Minimum, just going 200 doesn't even guarantee you that you are going to gain admission. But that is a basic requirement. If you don't get there, don't even try. It doesn't matter whether your father is the visitor of the university or not. They will not change that rule for you. If Buhari has visited the university, tries to force University of Ibadan to admit a student who scored 100 in JAMB, there will be uproar. I know you are. They will stand up. They will stand up. But that's what it takes to maintain the quality of the university. When they run to universities in the whole nation from outside, UIC came top amongst all the universities. Why? Because of maintaining that standard. Did they get knocks for it? They keep getting knocks for it, but if you want to remain a peculiar person, you must be ready to pay the price. Now, supposing a person decides to enter the university, even you even gain admission, and they say these are the rules for staying in the university. You must be matriculated, you must attend your lectures, you must do your exams. And somebody says, because his father is the governor of the state, he will not attend lectures. He will not do what it takes to be a student of the university. And he wants to graduate. He wants to convocate on the day of convocation. He will be disappointed. He may play football for the university. He may be popular in the university. His name may be commonplace in the university. But if he doesn't meet the requirement, he has fallen short. And that's how it is with the kingdom of God, my brethren. How is it that we are in an era where we are turning the scripture upside down? The children are eating sour grapes and the teeth of the parents are being set on edge. We have turned things upside down. I was speaking to one of our young people. And why didn't you come for a meeting? He said, I even want to change church. You want to change church? What happened? Have you discussed it with your parents? It's none of their business. I'm an adult now. I can take decision of my own. Why did he want to change church? You people are too hard. You are too hard. I can't do my hair the way I want to do my hair. I can't wear the dress. I love this type of dress. But you people don't allow that type of dress in the church. Oh. If she had said to me, she was a young lady. If she had said to me, I had a revelation of the night, and God told me that that man is my pastor, he will lead me aright, I will not argue with her. But if the reason for leaving is not something that will glorify God, I'm afraid. I'm very much afraid. And nobody could contain. And she actually left. I said, okay, that place, thank God at least she was able to discuss with me. I said, okay, that place you are going to now, how do you want to serve God in that place? What do they stand for? She didn't know. What are the key words that ministry is holding? If I ask you what GT is holding, you can easily tell me because you are reading it every day. Now you are going to a place, you don't even know what they are doing. He said, I will go and find out. But the mind was already made up. Brethren, God doesn't work with majority. Those who choose to stand with God, if God be God, let him be God. If Baal be God, you worship Baal. That's what the prophet told the children of Israel. But isn't it amazing that when he made that statement, the Bible records that the people didn't answer him a word. Because their minds were already made up what they want to do. This is the way I want to live. Leave me, that's my life. That's my life. Your life? Who gave you that life? Don't you know that you are accountable to God for that life? You have liberty to make your choice. That's true. In fact, let's read from Ecclesiastes. I pray that the Spirit of God will reach out to us expressly today and establish us according to his divine purpose, which he has had from the foundation when he set up this ministry. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I read from verse 8. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for there shall be many. All that cometh in his vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the day of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But, know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. You are not the first person to be a young person. People have been young before you. There have been fashions. In my days as a young person, we used to wear very high heels. I'm talking of men who high heel shoes. We call them platform. And the bottom of our trousers used to be so wide and big. And when we are going, we are sweeping dirt along the road. On a rainy day, you need to see the mess. And our hair used to be very bushy. Oh, and when you are like that and dressed like that, you feel on top of the world. You think you are the only person existing on the earth. It doesn't matter what any other person is saying. When the person even tries to make their say, this one, you are old fashioned, you don't understand anything. Those who persisted like that, I know where they ended. But there are some things about peculiar people. They are not tossed up and down by fashion and things like that. Fashion comes and goes, but the word of God stands forever. Please, sew your shirt so that you can use it for as long as possible. If you buy a fashionable shirt and you're a fashionable person, the day the fashion changes, that dress is condemned. And when you are going to buy the next one, you are going to pay a lot of money again to buy the next fashionable one. It's frustration of spirit. Vanity upon vanity. Thank you for completing the statement. But as you are completing it, are you examining yourself? Are you examining yourself? God is calling us. Look, I've chosen you as a peculiar people. And truly, there are many things peculiar about this ministry. Many things peculiar about this ministry. We will not fail to recount it to us from time to time. Is it how God gave us this land? You know the story. I don't want to burden you again telling the story. Is it how God gave us the robot land? I don't need to tell. Is it how he gave us the campsite? Is it how God built these buildings for us? Or how God renovated this place? All of them, they are miraculous things. Is it the wonderful things that God has done in our midst? People who didn't imagine they would go to school again. On account of the word of God here, they went back to school and prospered. People who could not even read and write, today are pastors and are reading the Bible and teaching other people the word of God in this place. What? Paul says, "Oh foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? Who had bewitched you? Since when did we begin to use the standard of other people whom we didn't know what God spoke to them? But we know what God spoke to us. To now make them our standard." Each time the children of Israel did that, they went into captivity. They went into errors. God will give them break for a while. And then they will suffer until they remember again and come back to the Lord. Because God will not deny his covenant. That's why Israel is still standing as a nation till this day. Israel has done many heinous things to despise God. But God cannot. He made a covenant to Abraham. It's an everlasting covenant. He made a covenant with David. He called it the sure mercies of David. It's not because David didn't misbehave. David did many things evil. But each time he recollected that he had done something evil and he ran back to God, God will pick him up again. That's why God called him the man after mine heart. God knew he was flesh and blood. But David will never recognize that he has done something wrong and keep quiet. He will run back to God. Create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. God is looking for a broken and a contrite heart. He will not despise such. That's where we began from. That's where we began from. There was also somebody in this church who considered that because of his contribution here and there, he qualified to be an elder in the church. And he was lobbying people, doing things up and down. He was never appointed an elder in the church. And he was angry and he left the church. Even went and began to pastor in another church. Yet the work of ministry still didn't prosper in his hands. Because the motive was wrong. He was thinking from a selfish point of view. And we are not all immune from that. Only we read and are sensitive to the Spirit of God and we adjust ourselves accordingly. If we are going to be instruments in the hand of, because what God has proposed, he will bring to come to pass. Nobody can stop that. Be sure about that one. Nobody can stop that. If you want to be among the peculiar people, then you need to behave like the peculiar people. You need to accept the standard of the peculiar people. You need to accept that it is not you who is in charge, but it is God who is in charge. That way, we can't miss the way. We can't miss the way. Very, very vital, and God is calling us to remain the peculiar people that He has called us to be. Now, being a peculiar person involves paying some prices. Make no mistake about it. I know there is a goody-goody, someone wants to give your life to Jesus Christ, all your problems are solved. It's not like that too. You have a different set of problems. That's the truth. We have to pay the price for peculiarity. We have to pay the price for peculiarity. I'll just take a few examples, and then we will take time to pray this morning and say, God, please help us. Please help me, in particular as an individual. God is faithful, oh. God is faithful. When I look and I see how God has lifted us up as individuals and as a ministry here, even if you don't want to acknowledge it, the whole world knows it. When people enter into these premises, if somebody were to come into these premises and see the number of cars and array of cars that are here, all brands, all makes and things like that. But is that why God called us? That is the Jara. Those are the side benefits. How many of us, we still go out on evangelism? On the Tuesday, we say we are supposed to go out on evangelism. Some of us are too big to do that. Let the boys do it. Let the children do it. And the children are saying, that's old fashioned. And so, the work doesn't get done. Are you surprised, therefore, that it looks like our number is beginning to dwindle? Let's wake up from this slumber. Let's wake up. Let's give priority to the things God gave priority to. Jesus gave Himself for us. Abi? To redeem us from what? And do what? Purify unto Himself. What? A peculiar people. Stop there for a moment. A peculiar people. A peculiar people. But that peculiarity goes with some works. You can't claim to be peculiar. There are different types of peculiarity. I already mentioned that. Don't be peculiar for the wrong reason. Zealous of good works. And specifically, God has spoken to us this year that it is a year of acceptable sacrifice and service. He's reminding us. Let's not be dull of hearing. Let's not become too familiar with the word of God. It's a dangerous thing to do. It's a dangerous thing to do. Because the day you misbehave, God is no respecter of persons. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. It's a very popular scripture. The Hebrew children proposed in their heart that they will not defile themselves with the king's meat. That was being peculiar. They disobeyed the king's command at the risk of life and death. And that was not the only instance. If you go to Daniel chapter 6 also, 2-5, because they were peculiar, some people gathered against them and ganged against them from verse 2 to verse 5. You say, these people, we will show them. Let's make a law. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Verse 3. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because of the excellent spirit that was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole kingdom. Righteousness exalts. Sin brings reproach. And when you contend with a righteous person, you are wasting your time. Honestly. You are wasting your time. You may go so far, but the end of the story, you will bow. You will bow. Then the presidents and priests saw that this man was on the path of promotion. He was going up. They sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could had none occasion or fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. He was peculiar. He stood out. He didn't join the multitudes to do evil. And what did they do? They say, he's only if we make a law that makes people not to worship God. I'm going to paraphrase the rest of the story and then we'll read the last few verses of that chapter. And they made that law. They convinced the king to make the law. We need to pray for people in authority. Because they get advices from all manner of people. And oftentimes, they don't know the motives of those people. And they can paint it so well. They promoted the king so well. They say, this will make you more wonderful. You're already wonderful. This will make you more wonderful. Just raise up one image somewhere. And everybody on a particular, not continually, just on this particular day, when you sound the trumpet, let everybody bow. You are familiar with the story. That's why I'm paraphrasing it. And the king obliged. Why? Because of his own personal ego. Not because he wanted to glorify God. He wanted to show himself. He wanted to compete with the gods. And they raised that. And then the time came. And they blasted the trumpet. Daniel would not bow the knee. He went to his usual place of prayer. And was praying with the window open as he used to do. He didn't do that. He didn't open the window because he wanted to defy the Lord. That was his normal practice. He had been groomed in righteousness. He had fellowship with God. Even though he was in captivity, even though things were not going well in the land, the city of Jerusalem was under captivity. All the important people had been taken away from the place. But now he was in captivity, and God was still dealing graciously with him because righteousness exalts. In spite of the fact that he was in captivity, he was being treated as a prince in that place. But he knew who made him prince. It was not Nebuchadnezzar that made him prince. It was God who made him prince. Do you know that God is the one who made you? If you know that God is the one that made you, your allegiance will be to God. And because he will not bite on Nebuchadnezzar, they said, heat up the furnace. And they threw him into the furnace. Or rather, they threw him into the lion's den, to be more accurate. Hungry lions. But that day, the lions went on a fast. We never knew that lions could fast until that day. They saw food, but they turned their eyes away. That's what happens when you are fasting now. It's not because there's no food. If you are fasting because you don't have food, you are not fasting. No. But when the food is there, sometimes you are passing, the food is even calling you, I'm here. And then those enzymes begin to turn inside your stomach. And you tell your stomach, peace be still. You storm. Because now I'm about my father's business. The lions went on a fast. Now, the eyes of the king opened. The same king who gave command that they should be thrown into the lion's den. Let's go to the end of that Daniel chapter 6. As we are beginning to conclude the word today. From verse 25 to verse 28. Daniel chapter 6. 25 to 28. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages. I just want to remind us to say that our mandate is worldwide. Did you hear me say that? Our mandate is what? Our mandate is what? Worldwide. Wrote unto all the nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of who? For he is a living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who had delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. First thing first, it's not the houses, it's not the lands, it's not the cars, it's not the fat bank account that is the issue. Those ones, God will give them. But we have to be peculiar people and be ready to pay the price. There's a price for peculiarity. Many of us are so wanton. We just want our own. We don't want any stress from anybody. But if you don't, did you hear what the second teacher said? When we cane that child, he said will be correct by force. He will learn the mathematics by force. Don't wait to be caned, though. Don't wait to be caned. The Bible says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. For God gives grace to the humble, but God resists the proud. When God resists you, I wonder where you are going to appeal your case to. But when you are a peculiar person, no matter what you suffer along the way, just look at Daniel. From one king to another, he kept prospering. That is the way of the righteous. It winds like this up. Watch out. Don't be left behind. I know that, you know, we are given to a lot of complaints. Oh, it's because of Lagbaja, because so-so person did this. That's why I'm doing this one. Nobody is excusable. You can't use another person as an excuse. Make no mistake about it. I take the last passage I'm going to read before we begin to pray. Jude has only one chapter. I read from verse 3. I will have started it from the beginning, but that will be another sermon for another day. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's a contention. And that contention has to be earnest. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to their condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord have saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Did you hear that one? And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto judgment of the great day. You can read the rest thereafter. You can never intimidate God. The same God who quashed the whole of Egypt to save the children of Israel, he said to them, if you now get to that land where I've driven people away for your sake, and you begin to behave like the people of that land, don't think that I will spare you. I will not. Because then I will not be a righteous God. So why are we trying to behave again like the people from where we have come? God has separated us. Must we go back again? Must we begin to enforce again? Please don't do this. Please don't do that. Isn't the Spirit of God at work in the inside of us to quicken us enough to know that there are some things that are not important? We should not dwell on the frivolities. Let's go out and do the work of the Master. Let's be zealous of good works. Let's go out and heal the sick. Let's visit the people who are in hospitals. Let's make life more bearable for the widows and the orphans that are amongst us. Let's lift up the downtrodden in our midst and see whether God will not respond to God, to us, much more than the imagination of our hearts. Why are we distracted? What difference does it make whether your dress is 10 million naira or another person's dress is 5 naira? Cloth that moth we eat, that we perish with use. Can you compare that to the value of one soul that is brought to the Lord? One soul. Just one soul. It was exciting as we went out on evangelism yesterday. You know. Amazing. There are people who are itching to hear the word of God, and we are living in our comfort zone. Let us wake up. We are a peculiar people. Say to your neighbor, I am peculiar. If you believe that you are peculiar. But I'm peculiar unto God. God has made us a kingdom of priests, kings and priests. Kings don't behave anyhow. They don't eat anyhow. They don't dress anyhow. they have a way. Even if they want to behave like commoners, people will remind them that, Your Excellency, sir, Your Majesty, sir. Because they are peculiar. That's who you are. Know it and don't be enticed. There's a seductive spirit in the air. I'm not just talking of sexual immorality. There's a seductive spirit in the air luring people away from godliness and making people to become more worldly and saying that, after all, there's no difference. There's no difference. I'm still who I am. You are not who you are. Let's bow our heads as we begin to pray. Let's bow our heads as we begin to pray. Let's bow our heads. Let's begin to pray. Our pastor Obed had a PhD degree. Momichi had a PhD degree. They forsook the degrees for a more excellent way. You think they didn't know what they were doing? They mortgaged their car for the work of the ministry. You think they didn't know what they were doing? Yes, that was needful for that time. That was needful for that time. It is our turn to pay the price too now. It's our turn to pay the price too now. Let's not just enjoy the grace and become wanton. Will we make the same kind of sacrifice? Will we pay the same price or even more for the greater glory that is set before us? The Bible said of Jesus Christ, for the glory that was set before him, he denied everything else. He endured every manner of contradictions. And today he has received a name above every other name. They tried to crown him king. He said, no, that my kingdom is not of this world. I'm not king of the Jews only. When they crucified him, they put the label, king of the Jews. They say, you don't know what you are doing. I'm not king of the Jews. I'm king of the universe. I made the whole world. Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus? Have you even come to the realization of who Christ is in your life? Because if you don't have the revelational knowledge, you will not understand what we are talking about. Most of what we are talking now will be Greek. Because the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But God is calling us to order this morning. And he didn't start this morning. He has been speaking to us. If you were here at the special hour, at the hour of divine help, you will understand that God is urgent about this matter. Because we have the choice today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Perhaps you are a visitor to the church, or you are just one of those people who like the worship here, you like the music and things like that, and you don't know what this place, what pertains to this place. Today you are reminded that we are not ordinary people. We are people who are headed for heaven, and we are ready to pay the price. We may be misunderstood, we may be misjudged, but if we maintain our focus, we will get there. We will get there. We will get there. We will get there. Please pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Examine yourself briefly. Look from the past few years. Has your zeal been going down? Our elder gave the example of some people. Before they got married, they were burning with fire. The moment they got married, it was as if ice water was poured upon them. Are you in that category? Will you run back to God now and say, God, please be merciful unto me. Please be gracious unto me. Some, they were zealous when they didn't have children. By the time children came, the children became the idol. My children have blessing. My children have this. My children. And the children became the idol. God cannot compete with anybody. If the children be your God, so let it be. That's why I said sometimes the children eat sour grapes and they put the teeth of the parents on edge. We will pray and say, please God, spare us. Spare us, we and our children. Let's behave like Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I know the type of questions my children ask me sometimes. Why do we have to go through this? Why is our own case different? I said, because you are a peculiar person. A peculiar person. A peculiar person. Be ready to pay the price. They that put their trust in the Lord shall never be confounded. Shall never be confounded. Perhaps you have not even accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are not part of the covenant. You don't even know what we are talking about. They look like Greek. But I tell you, come with us. Our God will do you well. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior in this Easter season. That's the reason Jesus came, to save you from your sins, to make you overcome all those nasty habits, and then let God, the Almighty God, the God of Israel, God of Abraham, become your God. And if there's any person like that who is saying, yes, so I want to enter into that type of covenant, it doesn't matter how far you have gone before in the world, God will pick you up and make you a special person, a peculiar person for Him. Any person like that in our midst, you are saying, enough of all the rubbish. I just make up my mind now. I want to be on God's side. Even Rahab the harlot, when he decided to come on the Lord's side, ended up in the lineage of the Messiah. God can use anybody for anything. Anybody. You say, me too. Yes, so you too. Anybody who is saying, God, I've decided for you. I'm following you, Lord Jesus. For the rest of us, let's just begin to recommit ourselves to the Lord. Any such person, you can raise up your hand. We'll just pray briefly with you, and we are done for today. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
One joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back.
Of them that diligently seek you. When you speak a word, it will not return to you void. We consider ourselves privileged that you have spoken concerning us. Your word will not fail. As for us, we are on your side. On the side of the Lord of hosts, the Lord mighty in battle. Lord, create in us a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within us. Blessed be your name, O Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen.
Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercies towards us. We thank you for your word that has come expressly to us. We pray that none of us will be a forgetful hearer. As we go forth from this place, let your glory overshadow us. Let your blessings abide with us. Dear Holy Spirit, keep on reminding us of this, your gracious words. Thank you for your servant whom you have used to bring us this word. We pray that you will renew him, strengthen him, uphold him, grant him more grace and more revelation to the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.